and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, Leslie Phillips, and John Pertwee. If there's one thing Captain Povey really enjoys, it's getting to his office every morning. And if you've ever met Mrs. Povey, you can understand his enthusiasm. For old Thunderguts, Portsmouth Dockyard isn't the place where he has to slave over a hot desk. It's sanctuary. However, this morning his desk is incredibly hot. At least the signal from the Ministry of Defense that's lying on it most certainly is. Not that he will see it immediately, because his secretary, Wren Chasen, opens all the mail, and she knows a top brass whizbang when she sees one. So it's at the bottom of the pile of codswallop the civil servants will insist on sending.
Barney. That's what they are, Barney. I swear we get more copies of rubbish that should have gone to the Army or the Air Force than we ever get on naval matters.
You could be right, sir. Since the changeover, Portsmouth Council have had to put on 3 extra dust carts to take away the screwed-up bits of paper from your waste paper box.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
What little pearl of wisdom have they sent you this morning, sir?
Oh, it's brilliant. I am informed by some idiot who calls himself the ADOC, brackets E, stroke Int Stores Admin, to LDKC, branch of EUKT, brackets ships.
Righty.
This fool solemnly informs me that as from the 1st of next month, apart from ceremonial occasions, I shall cease to wear putties.
Golly, what a relief for you, sir.
But this is nothing. If you remember, last week, I was given strict instructions that when approaching Portsmouth Harbour, the dockyard pilots were to fly at 5,000 feet.
I wonder what a tug looks like when it's in midair.
Yes. Why, and that blinding bit of wisdom didn't come by post either. It was sent in an armoured van and given police escort all the way.
Well, at least it got your waste paper basket safely, sir. And, now, if you don't mind, I think I'd better be getting back to my own office because I've got a lot of...
Oh, just a minute. There's just one more signal to be dealt with.
I know. That's why I want to get back to my own...
Stand fast, Wren Chasen. I recognize the signs. You read this last signal already, haven't you? They're not only Barney, they're bonkers. Oh, they've gone too far this time. If they take this redundancy much further, the Royal Navy will consist of one small boy in a rowing boat.
I know what you mean, sir, but it's only... sea-going personnel they want to cut down on this time.
Only sea-going personnel. They're not administrative.
Well, according to that signal, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, that's different. Yes. Well, it is high time we make cuts in our expenditure. I've told them time and time again, if only the Navy stopped manning ships, the cuts in the administrative staff would be completely unnecessary.
Speaking as a chair-born sailor yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, the Wren Chasen. I have had enough to contend with from these steaming idiots in Whitehall without adding... Wait a moment. How old is Lieutenant Murray?
I was quietly confident that the penny would drop sooner or later. He's over the age limit, sir.
Got him.
I beg your pardon?
I've got him.
Congratulations, sir. We realized you'd be the last to know.
But... I'm referring to this signal. For once, the Minister of Defense know what they're talking about him. Oh, this is the day, Wren Chasen, this is the day. Once I get rid of him, the rest of that Charlotte Trotbridge will collapse like a house of cards.
You're absolutely right, sir.
Send the signal to HMS Trotbridge at once.
Aye, aye, sir.
Further to a memo regarding redundancy of seagoing officers.
Knit one unto another. Pull one unto another. Knit one unto another, purl one unto another, knit one unto another.
Oh, hello, Padre.
Just a moment, Pearl. I mean, Mr. Phillips, I mean Pearl one unto another.
I knew a girl called Pearl once.
How gay.
Yes, she was. Yes. Unfortunately, I was the one who was the knit.
Begging yours?
Well, when I went out with her, you see, I was certain she didn't. But all the other chaps said she did.
I don't think I quite follow.
And what's more, she loved it.
What?
Knitting.
Crumbs, what a relief.
It wasn't, you know. No. If I'd known, I'd have had us sorting out my little potatoes.
Mr. Phillips!
The holes in the heels of my socks.
Oh, well, I really think we'd better change the, urtish.
Eh?
And probably talk.
Language, padre, language. What's the matter, anyway?
I've dropped a tishing and toshing stitch. My twin set will be all lopsided.
Yes, now I think we'd better change the,
It's a cardigan and jumper the Admiral's wife knitted for the ship.
So I see, yes. They should fit Troutbridge perfectly. Of course, you'll have to put both sleeves over the one funnel, and, but it should do up nicely under the prop shaft without too much.
I meant the Admiral's good lady had knitted the whole ensemble for the ship's welfare fund jumble-tail.
Then why are you knitting and purling it, Padre?
Oh, well, there, Mr. Phillips, we hinge on the indelicate.
Do we? Wacko, let's take a plunge.
That is precisely the problem. It is ludicrously obvious, even to my inexperienced peepers, that the shape of this upper garment or jumper is liable to descend to unknown depths on any female person not quite so adequately endowed as wife.
Oh.
So I am knitting one and purling one at the neck to take up the slack. Up the slack.
Spoil sport.
Morning, Mr. Phillips. Morning, Padre. Oh, making a bit of a knit of yourself, I see.
Really, Mr. Murray?
Oh, dear. I've dropped one.
No, he has.
What made you decide to knit a dress and an overcoat in the first place, Father? But I didn't. You mean it just turned out that way?
No, sir, no. It's a twin set. It belongs to the Admiral's wife. He's having to stitch up the neckline before it can be worn again.
Good gracious, whatever were you up to tear it?
Bishop's bloomers! For the very last time, I am merely repairing these garments for the welfare fund jumble sale.
Oh, sorry, pardon, Padre. Come in.
Morning, gentlemen. And it flipping well isn't. Oh, I've known old Thundercuts to play some dirty tricks in my time, but this one takes the biscuit cleaner once Keiko. Oh, yes, he's always been known as a dyed in the wool underhanded snake in the grass. And that's by his loyal friends. But after this lot, I reckon he's so low he can walk under a caterpillar without taking his cap off. Yeah, talking of caps, all is not gold that glitters on his titfer. It couldn't be. It's rusty tinsel sailing under false colours. Like it's mendacious, unveracious, shifty, shady, double-dyed, double-faced, smoothly spoken, mealy-mouthed, hypocritical, lip serving, tooth mint, and unbugging owner. Well, I've finished.
Cool.
He's put the boot in your career, Mr. Murray, sir.
He what?
You've been canobbled, sir. It's not a nothing, sir. It's a capsule, feds down, reverse arms, lower the flag. This is serious, sir.
Yeah, forgive me for interrupting, but as the about-to-be-injured party, may I know in what way I'm about to be canobbled?
You certainly may, sir. We've just received a signal addressed to you personal from Captain Povey, sir. Well, go on, read it for yourself, sir. Read it for yourself. Well, on second thoughts, don't bother, because I already have, sir. And a very disagreeable gulp and all. Don't have no truck with it, Mr. Murray, sir. It'll only upset you.
Yeah, possibly, Chief, but I'll risk it, so let go.
Well, if you insist...
I do.
But I shan't resist.
Better not. Now then, what is all this about? Subject redundancy?
One tried to warn one, but one is obviously still shaken to one's rigid and liable to do one's nut.
One certainly is. This is ridiculous.
What is?
Old Thundergus is trying to have me bowler-headed because of age. Just a minute. Why only me? How old are you, Mr. Phillips?
Me? Oh, I'm twiddly auntie four.
How old?
He said. He's the twiddly auntie four.
Well, I'm twiddly auntie four and a half, actually.
Get away, sir.
Oh, I'd never have believed it. You certainly last well, sir. Congratulations and all.
Oh, thanks very much. Yes, any chap in my position would have done the same. Incidentally, Mr. Murray, sir, if you're being made redundant, however old are you?
I'm, fiddly umpty six.
Lummy.
Stone me.
Oh, come off it. There's no need to make me sound like old Father Time.
Quite right, number one. Let us face it. These days, tiddly umpty six is no age at all. Why, I'm tiddly umpty five myself.
Well, one lives and learns. One would never have thought they would one.
Yes, well, never mind how many tiddly umpties you all are. I'm obviously one tiddly umpty too many.
Is that absolutely definite, sir?
Oh, it's near. It makes no difference. According to this signal, old Thunderguts has been instructed to report to Whitehall on any seagoing officers of, that age who could be replaced by younger men in the interests of economy and the running down of the home fleet.
Well, sir. Well, Mr. Murray, sir, it's been nice knowing you, sir. On behalf of the rest of the ship's company, I would like to take this opportunity to say it's been an honor to serve under you, sir. We all wish you the very best of British in your civilian life. And trust that you will from day to day. Remember, as humble matters, you are destined to serve on amidst the perils of the deep for the sake of the old mother country. Never in the field of human conflict.
All right, that'll do.
Lummy. He's practically packed all your souvenirs and personal belongings in your little plastic suitcase already.
When the writing's on the wall, there's hardly not no sense in prolongating the anagoni, sir.
They haven't said I'm going yet. I'm going to fight this.
Very well. Bash your bonds against the brickwork if you must, sir. But it will still be the same difference.
Chief?
Sir?
Before you do actually volunteer to pack my little plastic suitcase and wave me on my way with a smug beam all over your weather-beaten, craggy mess of a mush...
Oh!
Don't forget that if I do go, you are liable to get a new number one practically straight from Dartmouth, who is young, keen, anxious to impress, and extremely conscientious.
Message received and horribly understood, sir. You mean that Pert, we should remember the old proverb, better the devil... Beg your pardon, Padre, you know. Than the devil... Beg your pardon, Padre, you don't know.
Quite. On the other hand, it's more than likely that as I'm only twiddly umpty four, they might promote me.
That settles it. You fight them, Mr. Murray, sir. You fight them. Don't you go, sir. Stay here, sir. Claim spot is right, sir.
Right, there's only one answer for this. I'm going down to Old Thunderguts' office and have it out with him. Man to... whatever he is.
It's no good your blowing your top at me, Stephen. You can't go and see Captain Povey now. He's got the Admiral with him.
Good. Then I can tell the Admiral what I think of Captain Povey at the same time as I'm telling Captain Povey.
Yes, I very much doubt if that would help your case.
Don't argue, please, Heather. Tell Old Thunderguts I'm here and want to see him at once.
Oh, all right, I'll try.
Then, Chasen, I thought I told you I was not to be disturbed.
Lieutenant Murray is here and he wants to see you urgently, sir.
Ah, bet he does. No, very well. As the Admiral is here, you'd better send him in.
You mean as there are two of you, you'll outnumber him?
I meant redundancy is what the Admiral and I have been talking about.
Oh, really? Which one of you is going?
Then, Chasen, just send in Lieutenant Murray, please.
Aye, aye, sir. The Labour Exchange will see you now, Stephen.
Thanks.
Hey,
I was going to anyway. I know what's behind this redundancy, all right? You didn't have to put my name forward. Oh, no, this is a personal vendetta. You're getting your own back. And good morning, Admiral.
My word, this one's a bit perky, isn't he? Oh, I see. This is the idiot for the scrap heap we were talking about, is it? Well, nice to have met you. Hope everything turns out all right for you in Civvy Street and all that jazz.
Yeah, I haven't gone yet. And what's more, sir, I don't intend to without a fight.
That's the... spirit, go down with all guns blazing. Blast away at the fools, never surrender.
With respect, Admiral, the fools he'll be blazing away at will be us.
Eh? Oh, well, that's different. Murray!
Sir?
Shut your cake hole.
But, Admiral...
And batten your bun hole as well, Toby. I'm the Admiral, so I'm going to do the chatting. Now, what's your complaint, Lieutenant Murray?
Well, quite simple, sir. I don't want to be slung out of the Navy.
Don't you? an odd chap you are.
Which I could be.
Oi, Povey, we do get redundancy pay, don't we?
I've no idea.
Oh, hell, that alters matters, of course. I shall have to pull my socks up. I've been relying on the old golden handshake. Got me eye on a skunk farm down in Dorset. Freehold, naturally.
But let's face it, who'd want a lease back after those bonging parishes had lived in it?
My word, they're powerful, you know. Kept two in a hutch once. It was Matlow's sock washing night 24 hours a day. What were we talking about before I started?
Redundancy, sir. And mine in particular.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Just what is all this old guff about, Povey? Who's redundant, this idiot, and why?
It's through this signal I received from Whitehall, Admiral, which states that senior officers should make recommendations for redundancy on any seagoing officer over the age of 26. Exactly. Who they feel could be replaced by a younger man.
When you've picked on this, isn't it?
Merely carrying out my duty, Admiral.
You're not, you know. You're trying to get me marooned behind a bacon counter in the supermarket.
Or flogging funny-shaped brushes from a suitcase on doorsteps. Just so that you can break up the crew of Troutbridge.
That delightful prospect did cross my mind,
I must admit. Now, hang on a minute, Povey, or whatever your name is. If this chap is one who can hold his crew together, he can hardly be called redundant. In any case, he can always appeal, of course.
Appeal? Who to? And when?
Story of your life, isn't it, Povey? You only read half this muck they bung at us. I've had that blasted signal as well, and there's a sort of P.S. on the back.
What? It can't be.
Panic, Povey. I doubt if I'd have seen it either. I mean, I happened to turn the thing over to use as a mat for my morning mug of grog.
What exactly does the P.S. say, sir?
Oh, I don't know. Some tripe about any officer who feels that he's been unjustly made redundant has the right to appeal before the appeals board to be held here at the end of the month.
I knew it.
I knew it was too good to be true.
I wish to make an appeal to the board, sir.
Granted.
Yeah. Now, Admiral, please, don't be hasty. This is our only chance.
Do wrap up your rollo, Povey. You'll have your chance to say whatever you want to at the board.
What? You mean I have to appear before the board as well?
Well, of course you do. You're the prosecution, aren't you? Now, this idiot is the defense, and I've got to hear both sides.
You have, sir?
Well, didn't I tell you? I'm the president of the board.
Oh, no, it's not fair.
So no long Perry Mason speeches or producing exhibits A to Z. Otherwise, the whole mess is liable to run into opening time, and I'll court-martial everybody instead.
This way, sir. That door must be the boarding room for the waits. I mean, the waiting board for the brooms. No. That's where we hang about until they see us, sir.
Mr. Phillips, I still cannot understand why you're here with me. I'm the one the board had to see.
Oh, I'm a volunteer, sir.
What for? My job?
Yes. No. No, I'm here to see fair play, sir. I'm your character witness.
My what?
You know the form, sir. Never been in trouble before. Good to your mum. If only they'll give you another chance, I'm sure.
Mr. Phillips, I'm not on trial. Although, if they let you into that boardroom, I suppose it won't be long before I am.
That's the style, sir. Think big. After you, sir, I don't suppose they'll keep us waiting long.
Mr. Phillips, for the last time, I do not want you to come with me. I want to speak to the board on my own.
And so you shall, sir. I intend calling you to the stand as the last witness for the defense.
I am not!
Then, with any luck, just as everything seems lost, and you look as if you're going to the chair, then the real criminal will stand up at the back of the court and confess.
Yes. Of course, it's my own fault. I should never have agreed to having the telly in the wardroom. You believe every word.
Rather. Even the party political broadcast.
Well, of course, we always knew that you lived in a world of your own. Now, please go away, Mr. Phillips. Go and chat up some birds or something.
Not likely. A chap can't desert another chap in another chap's hour of need. Particularly when a chap is a friend of the other chap's. Can a chap?
In your case, Mr. Phillips, a friend in need is a menace.
Good morning, gentlemen each. The Admiral, Captain Bovale, and the board are now available.
Ale? I mean A?
Would Lieutenant Morale step this way?
Certainly, Ale. By all means.
Right. This is it, sir. This is it. Nothing to worry about, sir. Nothing to worry about. Leslie is with you, sir.
That is precisely what I am worrying about.
Oh, do get a move on. Look lively and shut the door. There's a blasted draught.
Oi, you, Blondie.
Who?
You. What are you doing here?
I'm Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, sir. I'm the prisoner's friend.
<I do.
laughs> Heaven help the poor idiot.
And if you'd allow me...
No, Povey, I won't. You should have gone before.
Now then, Murray, or whatever your name is, you better meet the rest of the board. I had to meet him, so I don't see why you shouldn't suffer. This is Captain Ormondroy from Statistics.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid I'm not too good with figures.
Oh, not to worry, lad. Last time I did the shopping for the wife, I went out with a fiver, bought 25 bolts worth of rubbish and came back with no change. Oh, and to the wrong house.
Lummy, I wonder if we're related.
Precisely what I was thinking.
No, you weren't, Povey. There isn't time. So shut your think box until I tell you. Now, this idiot is from security. Lieutenant Commander Weatherby or some such rot.
Oh, how do you do, sir? How do you do?
How do you do?
By the time he managed to tell the Russians about a secret weapon, it'd be obsolete.
I say, what a shrewd observation!
Creeping, Ivy, what the bright blue brick dust did that?
I did. Silly. Admiral, I'm Captain Schiffen. And I've been sent to the board from administration.
Pointing the other way, somebody, I'm drowning.
I really must apologize, but I'm suffering from a particular... attack of hay fever. We had noticed, actually.
Do you think it would help if you took tab?
Admiral, I really must...
Oh, very well, Povey, but be quick.
We'll never get this blasted board started.
Possibly.
It wouldn't help anyway, so you can shut your cake hole.
Who are you, Ormondroy?
Admiral.
Giggle.
Certainly, Admiral. Now, as I see it, we're here to decide whether Lieutenant Murray is to be made redundant as a seagoing officer over the age of...
within the 26.
Exactly.
Precise!
Yes, a juvenile. Right.
Well, gentlemen, as I see it, there is no possible argument. Lieutenant Murray is a seagoing officer, and he is over to a diddly-umpty six.
Well, that's it, then. Well done, Povey. There's still 10 minutes to opening time. Blasted, but appeal dismissed.
Now, just a minute, Admiral. Please,
allow me.
But I...
Please, the prisoner's friend is talking.
Then stop doing so at once, Sub-Lieutenant. You're wasting valuable drinking
With
time.
With respect, Admiral, according to the Geneva Convention of 1066, as signed by Lord Nelson at Agincourt, I'm entitled to have my say for the defense.
Oh, well, if you must, then chat on.
Thanks. Now, according to the second opinion, which confirms the party of the first part, who wasn't at the first opinion's party in the first place, because it was being held at the first party's second place in the country, just beyond the Fork Road where you turn right, you know, right? I have been into this and examined the facts with a fine coombe tote. Phillips, what are you talking about? I've no idea, sir. But I'm hoping they haven't either. I'm just collecting my thoughts.
Well, that shouldn't take long.
Well, gentlemen, as I see it, there is no case to answer. As I read this signal from Whitehall, it only refers to officers who have been appointed as seagoing officers and have served as seagoing officers for the past twiddly-dumpty 6 years. Now, this means that Philip Murray has still got umpty-twiddly 4 years left before he's redundant, because he was never seagoing in his cot or in his pram.
I have never heard so much balderdash in all my life.
Hold it, Chuck. Hold it. Blondie's right, you know. According to the word of this signal, it only applies to officers who served to twiddly-umpty 6 years at sea. Not officers who are to twiddly-umpty six.
That's ridiculous. No officer has been at sea that long. It's just badly phrased. Obviously, they meant to include all officers over that age who are on the seagoing list.
If I were you, Povey, old man, I should...
Watch it!
You could be building yourself a monster!
You just did. I'm soaked. Captain Atchison, what are you talking about?
I was barely trying to suggest that this signal could refer to any officer who was seagoing traditionally up to 6 years ago, even if he's got a shore job. If so, that would include yourself, and you'll find you've created your own redundancy! 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 Redundancy!
We'll not stop him now.
Redundancy! Redundancy!
Well, how about one more for luck?
Boys,
don't tone somebody. The fool's up to gale force now.
What's going on? Do you mean that what I said actually made sense?
I realize it's a terrible shock.
But yes. God. I am proud.
Right, that's it. Field granted. All adjourned. We'll consider whether or not we can make Povey redundant after lunch.
What? Oh, now...
Out of my way, Povey. See you in the dock later. Come on, you Whitehall nanas. This is where I give your expenses a hell of a bashing.
Admiral, I really must.
What again, Povey? I thought you'd leave. Oh, well, carry on. It's in your own time now.
Ruined. That's what I am, ruined.
Now, don't you worry, Captain Povey, sir. I'll just have a quick lunch, then I'll be back here beside you as the prisoner's friend.
Out! Get out! I've had all that buzz out! Out!
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray have been defending The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, and Lieutenant Commander Weatherby. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott. Heather was Heather Chasen. The Admiral was Daniel Evans. Captain Atchison was Michael Bates. And Captain Ormond Lloyd was played by Laurie Wyman. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.